Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, sign up for the free Common Fan newsletter. It's free. Follow all the social media accounts and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. That's commonfan.co. Also, Common Fans, what's more Nebraskan than football and beef? Oak Barn Beef is a family-owned farm right in Nebraska, shipping premium dry-age beef straight to doorsteps nationwide. Whether you're stocking the freezer, grilling for game day, or looking for a gift that actually impresses, Oak Barn Beef has got you covered. Check them out at oakbarnbeef.com. That's oakbarnbeef.com. And taste the difference of Nebraska-raised dry-aged beef. It's a couple days before Christmas, Common Fans. We've got one more Nebraska football game this calendar year, this 2025 season. Get yourself a big roast from Oak Barn Beef, maybe some steaks, maybe some ribeyes for the special occasion. It's also New Year's Eve, double whammy special occasion.
Yeah.
Just last night, I just made some burgers with some ground beef from Oak Barn Beef. You can't go wrong. Whatever you fancy, go to oakbarnbeef.com and get yourself ready for that bowl game. I'm guessing, though, with Christmas coming up, Geoff, are you guys having turkey?
Probably. I'm guessing there's some turkey
That's
involved
disgusting.
There.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
It's not just, see, that just proves you're wrong. It's not just a Thanksgiving treat. It's a treat for all holidays. I might grill up a bird on the 4th of July next summer. I might
do that. You should. Well, many are saying if you look at the studies, turkey consumption on Christmas is going way down. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that. I believe that.
Yeah, many are saying. Matty,
more of a prime rib beef Christmas. Yeah, it's more of a beef holiday for me.
Christmas is a beef holiday. You.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Listen, guys, we've long wondered if Matt Rhule is a listener to the program. And I think we got some evidence that obviously he is on Friday because he responded to the comment about whether or not the program's in a reset, which we talked about on our last episode. Yeah. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Don't blame Sipple.
We were referencing Sipple's article about the reset. And then Sipple was the one who asked the question that seemed to animate the head coach.
But we do know that coach is listening occasionally. We do know that. So coach, we love you.
Yeah.
We got your back, coach.
You're welcome.
We got to see some wins, but we got your back, buddy.
You're welcome for the Belly G option pass in 2023.
Touché. Yeah. Yep.
But I do, guys, I do want to talk about that press conference a little bit. Rhule, it's kind of what we talked about on our last episode. He kind of felt like a different guy.
Yeah.
Felt like a new man.
I think
it's probably, it was pretty spicy. And I think part of it's probably like, let's move past this Dylan thing, right?
Yeah.
Dylan's moving on. Thanks for the memories. To Wong Fu, thanks for everything. Julie Newmar, let's move on, right? Sorry, 90s.
Excellent.
Movie, 90s.
Filmed in Nebraska, mind you.
Yeah, there's Nebraska connections there.
Yeah. But I want to talk about two different things that he said. You know, one, he was sort of like exasperated when Sipple asked the reset question. And he said, he called it ridiculous to suggest that the program was in a reset. And he talked about how we're building, right? And so he said, he basically said, the end of the season, bottom kind of fell out at the end of the season. He acknowledged that. It's not as good as it should be. He acknowledged that, right? He said, we should have had two more wins this year, and we didn't, right? So he owns, like, he continues to own his stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But he also said, 5-7, 6-6, 7-5. We are making progress. We are building. He referenced Bill Belichick, who told him, I don't know when, several years ago, that it takes 3 years just to get your staff in place. He brought up Indiana. He brought the whole Indiana thing. He said, everybody wants Indiana. That's, yep. You know, that's not the reality for most, but everyone wants Indiana. So it was pretty, I'm sure most people have read about it or seen clips of it, but go back and watch that press conference, because it was a pretty passionate Matt Rhule. The other thing he said, guys, that I wanted to get your take on, we're going to get your take on all this. He talked about what he inherited, which he has mostly shied away from doing.
Yeah.
Up to this point. Quote, if anyone ever understood what we walked into, they'd be amazed of what we've done behind the scenes. Quote, I've had to do a lot of stuff because someone else didn't do it. I shouldn't have had to do it. Some people take over programs. They didn't have to do that. I think other people in other programs didn't have to clean up the messes that he cleaned up, I think is right. What he,
yep.
We had to do a lot of stuff. So now I get to be a lot more involved with the football. One more quote here. He just says, we are moving forward. This is from Sam's Rewind, Sam McEwen's Rewind article. We are moving forward. That's the end of Rhule's quote. Here's what Sam says. Rhule mentioned Indiana, which was unnecessary but notable, precisely because there are no factions to please, traditions to protect, donors or regions to coddle. Kurt Cignetti got to do at Indiana what all coaches dream about doing, make it about the football. Cignetti's very good at it too. That's what Sam said. That might be a little generous to Rhule.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you guys, what's your guys' take on all this stuff?
I think it's interesting to hear that now, because if we recall, in year one of Matt Rhule, he was pretty complimentary of Coach Frost.
And Mickey, I think.
And Mickey, and you wonder if some of that was blowing some smoke, because, you know, at the time, there's still a little bit of that faction of Husker fans that are a little bit upset for reasons I can't explain that we fired Scott Frost. So I think some of that was him just trying to be like, yeah, you know, he did some good things. You know, he's a Nebraska guy, right? Frost is a Nebraska guy. He doesn't want to upset anybody. I generally don't really like that when coaches make excuses like that and blame prior staffs. I mean, I got so sick of Frost doing that. So I don't really care for that too much. And I think it's interesting that Rhule is going that direction now. But at the same time, I kind of like this version of Matt Rhule back against the wall. Like, there's a little, it was fiery, you know, it was passionate. I like that, and I'm excited to see what that translates into next season. And I also like that he's actually coaching some football. You know, like these guys, like, yeah, we say, you know, we want a coach that's a CEO and all this, but I think for him, he's a football coach. And he's coached dang near every position group on the football field. And I know he's got good insight and good experience at all of those. So, and if you heard Riley Van Poppel too, talking about coach practicing, like that was refreshing. Like he kind of insinuated like, hey, if coach wants to be the permanent D line coach, like I'm all for it. And I love that. I love that we have a head man that's willing to turn his hat around backwards and get in there and coach some football. I like that a lot. And I think that at times head coaches would be better served doing more of that. Like I remember when we referenced it in the past couple of years, talking about special teams. Remember when Pelini took over the special teams and what a change and a flip that was in the special teams? Like, I think it's pretty cool. But again, all this is Matt Rhule is really, really good at the podium. He has been since the moment he got here. So this is great. I like what I'm hearing, and I'm sure a lot of other Husker fans like what they're hearing, but we got to see it translate to the field. We got to see it translate to wins. Like, this is all good that we like what our coach is saying, but We've got to see the results.
Geoff, you look like you like really ready to say something.
No, I agree with Matt saying like he's fiery, but he has been good at the podium. I don't think this was his best effort. I can't stand it's not my fault now. It's politician speak. You know all about that, TJ. It's politician talk. It's where things aren't going, your approval numbers are going down. What's the first thing that you do? You blame the previous administration. It's not my fault. Now I inherited this. And he's never been like that before. And that tells me one of two things. Either A, Matt said it, his back's against the wall. He has to come up with something. Or B, when you start blaming other people, it makes me feel like maybe he's worried. Maybe he's like, oh shit, this isn't working out the way I thought it was. I've got to tell these people something because he's never done this before. So for me personally, I'm not a big fan of that. And I don't think it was his best effort in front of the media. I know it's spicy and that's cool to kind of be edgy like that, but you just, you know, own it, man. Don't blame it on somebody else. I'm tired of that. Scott Frost did that enough for me.
It's just never a good look. It's funny. No. It's funny when you think about Frost, especially when Frost first took over and he would throw shade at Riley and how they were doing rugby tackling or how the team was soft. And we all ate it up because the Riley era didn't go well. And we thought Frost was going to lead us back to the promised land. Mm-hmm. And so nobody really cared. There was no affection for. So I think some of this is just the fatigue then of Frost. Sure. Frost kept talking about that stuff. Yeah. And then he never started winning. And like he would talk, you know, there was always someone else to blame or something else to blame. It felt like with the Frost era, maybe that's a little bit of revisionist history on my part, but that's how it felt.
Yeah.
It also made me think of guys like just Rhule in general, like stepping back, just watching his sort of posture, his kind of feistiness on Friday. Nebraska is not the easiest place to win. This is probably like a whole other offseason episode.
Yeah.
Our greatest sort of attributes as a program can also be challenges for coaches. The fan interest, the fan passion, the obsession, really, the mm-hmm. resources that Husker fans put into this program. You hear it all the time how Nebraska sports media types will say there's 30 or 40 people at a Nebraska football program. There's pro teams that covering it, like for various publications, because the interest is there, because we're all willing to pay for X number of subscriptions to whatever. And other pro teams don't have that much. Most college teams don't have that much. That's a good thing. Like that's why that has allowed the program to succeed. But I think there's only certain types of coaches that can win under that sort of intense level of fan passion. I think Rhule is like, I don't think Rhule has shied from it. I think other coaches sort of wilted underneath that intense light. But it just made me think like this guy's like 3 years into this. He agrees. Like he's probably, I think it's clear. He knows they've left some wins out there on the field the last few years. But he's also like, man, I'm doing everything I can here, people. Like, we're back-to-back bowl games after almost a decade of no bowl games. Like, come on now, people.
It's not nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny that you brought that up, too. I had that conversation the other day with my dad that the fandom in this state is so intense. And you said it on a previous episode that, you know, Husker fans know their football. Maybe I'm not one of those folks that knows it as that in depth as some of you guys, but it's like everybody thinks they're a coach. And so you get under this intense microscope, like you said. I think sometimes that can almost hurt us more than it helps us in some cases, because yeah, you're right. Like he's got to think, I've actually made progress with this program more than anybody has in the last few years, and I'm still getting shit for it. Like, what do you people want? So I get it. It's a positive, but it can be a negative at the exact same time. I thought it's funny you brought that up. I was just talking about that.
Yeah, for sure. But I do think like Rhule has made a point to be out in the community to talk about, you know, I think other coaches, Frost didn't like it, frankly, right? I think other coaches, you know, Pelini over time, I think it wore, maybe he and the fan base wore on each other, perhaps. Yeah. With Pelini. Yeah. But going back, one other thing I wanted to flag, guys, this was from Sam's Rewind article a week ago. So not this week's, but last week's. this was more heavily focused on Raiola, but I think it fits into this conversation as well. Quote, this is from Sam. For Nebraska, Raiola's departure is an opportunity to place the quarterback position back within the larger framework of the team. Mattio, you said this on our last episode too.
Thank you.
Let the lines, running backs, I'm skipping around a little bit. Let the lines, running backs, and linebackers be the foundation. Even when the best Nebraska quarterbacks stood tall on the national scene, they sat on the shoulders of the pipeline, giving the ball to the workhorses. And I think that's the other thing. I've sort of caught up on like a week's worth of Husker football reading over the weekend. So forgive me if I'm a little all over the place.
Hey, don't be hard on yourself. You're a common fan. We're all just coming. We're just trying to. It's the holidays.
Just trying to get the Christmas.
Trying to get by.
You know? Yeah.
Trying to get by.
Thank you, Mattio.
Yep.
But I mean, that's another point I think that Sam is making is like Rhule can get back to being himself. He's known as a development guy. His teams have always been known for like toughness and grit. And we talked about this too. Like, you sort of have to get the five-star quarterback when you have this family connection, and he's considered like you sort of have to do that, right?
Yeah.
But maybe it sort of was as much of a distraction as it was good too. Maybe I think those things can both be true.
Sure.
Go ahead, Mattio. Did you have something?
No, I just think that was an internal concern for me when the Raiola fever started. It was like you can't. You're right. You can't say, hey, this five star top three in the country quarterback really is really interested in Nebraska. And by the way, he's a legacy kid.
Yeah.
You can't say, you know what, that doesn't really fit with what we want to do. You can't do that.
No.
You have to take a shot on him.
I agree.
And see what happens.
Well, and imagine two Decembers ago when the Raiola smoke started and it was like, this might really be happening. And then imagine if it hadn't happened. Right. And everybody would have been distraught, you know, like you have to go there. The whole fan base was, you know, beyond elated about it. But so I want to pivot now, guys, to that last point about relying on your offensive line, sort of looking at it more in the whole concept of a team. I was thinking about this a lot over the weekend too. So Rhule has hired a bunch of new coaches now, as we all know, right? And I think the hires can tell us a little bit, at least, about what direction he might be wanting to take the program. So I wanted to look a little bit about what these hires might be telling us, okay? And I want to start on the offensive side of the ball, specifically the offensive line. So we talked about this last week. He's hired Jeep Wade with a G.
Love that soft G.
There you go. I was waiting for G out. Jeep Wade, who was Georgia Tech's offensive line coach. Obviously, they fired Uncle Donnie, fired Donovan Raiola, bringing Jeep Wade in to be the offensive line coach. He is considered a very good offensive line coach. Georgia Tech is considered a very good running program. That in and of itself is very encouraging, but also pretty straightforward. The other interesting piece of this, sticking with the O-line, is Rhule has also hired Lonnie Teasley to be the run game coordinator. So Teasley was the offensive line coach at South Carolina. From what I've read, he's also considered a very good recruiter, and he's got significant recruiting ties in SEC country, right? So you're bringing in not one, but two offensive line coaches from Power Five programs, right? Mm-hmm. And one's an O-line coach, one's the run game coordinator. Mattio's salivating, I can tell. This says to me, I think run the damn ball guy is going to be pretty happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go, Mattio, go.
I just got goosebumps. Like, I appreciate modern football and teams wanting to be balanced and be able to throw the ball and run the ball. But in the Big Ten, in November, you have to do it. You have to be able to run the ball. And what better way to be able to run the ball in November than if you just do it through the whole damn season? And that's part of your identity. We've talked about Nebraska's identity, especially offensively for the last couple of seasons, to make it your identity that we're going to run the ball and we're going to run it. And even when you know we're going to run it, we're going to run it and we're going to do it well. And then this thing that I saw in Sam's tweet the other day about Nebraska maybe being a little more creative with the run game. I love that. He likened it to, you know, Bo Pelini, Barney Cotton. You know, if you remember, it's those Common fans that are old enough, Nebraska got really creative in the formations they would be in and running the ball and the different types of misdirection and option game. Like, I remember they'd get in this diamond formation with three backs or two backs, and you'd have two of your best running backs on the field at the same time. And then out of that, we would run options. Like, we'd hand off to Burkhead, and then he'd pitch to Abdul, or things like that. Being creative in running the ball, where it's not just, hey, let's line up two tight ends and a fullback and smash it at you. Because I would like that too, but I think you have to do a little bit more than that this day and age, and especially in the Big Ten, when the other team's defense is big and gnarly and nasty. And if you want to try to run right at them, they're saying, okay, come on, bring it on. So you got to be a little bit smarter and use your athletes in that run game. Do some pulls with your O-line. Get them out on the edge. You know, there, you could be creative with that. And I'm really looking forward to see what we do with two offensive line coaches, two Power Five offensive line coaches on the same staff. I mean, this is just like, this is an early Christmas gift, guys. For us, run the damn ball, guys.
Yeah.
This is an early Christmas gift, having two Power Four offensive line coaches on staff. Fantastic.
So it gets, I don't know, like, how many coaches are we allowed to have? I mean, for the love of, I didn't even know some of these positions existed. You've got an offensive line coach.
There's no limit anymore. There used to be a limit. There's no limit anymore.
There's an offensive line coach.
Like Master P.
An offensive
Thank
offensive
you, Jeff.
Coordinator. Oh, you're welcome. Jeff. Offensive line coach. Now we've got a running game coordinator. I don't want to like rain on anybody's parade, but can there be a point where there's just too many freaking cooks in the kitchen? Like, it just seems like
valid.
You pile all these people in there. You got too many voices coming at players from different directions. Like, I don't know. I'm throwing that out there.
You know, Jeff, Matty O and I here, we're bringing our ideas. We're bringing our positive energy. And there you go with the negativity.
He just comes in and craps all over it.
I didn't even know these positions existed. We're just making things up now.
Nothing negative to say about two Power Five offensive line coaches who are considered excellent coaches and excellent recruiters.
I'm
both
just saying
at Nebraska.
See,
at this
coaches time. Have egos. Before you know it, one of the other ones going to think they're smarter than the other one. They're going to think their idea is better. You need to go my way. The other guy's going to think you need to go his way. Before you know it, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Jeff, You're just borrowing trouble, Jeff.
I'm sure they're professional enough to realize the chain of command. And I don't know, but I'm guessing when you have
Who answers to who?
Two like that, like. One guy's probably more focused on the actual plays they're running. One guy's probably more focused on technique. You know, I'm sure there's some kind of arrangement that they're going to have here. Mm-hmm. But it's a valid point, Jeff. But I'm sure these things have been thought of.
Jeff, it's who answers to whom. Anyway, the other thing this gets at, guys, is the identity question that we've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
Like, Emmett was an All-American this year, right? Like, one could say Nebraska ran the ball pretty well this year, but Emmett and the O-line, we've talked about this. The O-line played better. They blocked better, I think, when they were focusing more on the run the second half of the year. That's all true. But Emmett made a lot happen himself too.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. Made a lot of guys miss. And it doesn't mean we had a clear picture of what the identity of this offense is or was. So hopefully this means we have a little more clarity on the power run game. We've said it a million times. We don't have to be that sort of traditional, you know, these teams have beat us, so we have to own that. But like the Iowas and Minnesotas, we don't have to just be rock fight, win every game 13-10 because all you do is run the ball. But the best teams, the Alabama dynasties, the Ohio States of the world, the best teams win at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
The best teams can run the ball when they want and need to run the ball. And then hopefully you have enough athletes and playmakers that you can mix it up a little bit and throw it around or do some play action or whatever. It is 2025. You've got to attract high level talent, and you can't just run the ball 50 times a game, even though some of us would love that. But I think what we're saying, like we've said this all along, but it never felt like that was the identity or like the priority for the team, right? It was like, let's get the ball into space. Let's be multiple. Let's get the ball to our playmakers. And it was just kind of this mishmash of sort of a lot of inconsistency as much as anything, right? And so I really hope what this means is that we're moving toward more of a run heavy offense, right? Mm-hmm. I was going to say both of those things and I said them and now we're going to move on. Okay, great.
Well done. Good job.
Thank you so much, Jeff. You know, it's Christmas. The kids are running around right outside my door. You know, there's a lot going on here.
Get off the shed.
No, you cannot play more Xbox. Obviously, two other ones, and we talked a little bit about this. Rob Arich is the new defensive coordinator. He comes from San Diego State. And then Roy Manning, he's one we have not talked about yet. Roy. He will be the edge rushers coach.
Another one.
And so, yeah, that's right. Just another assistant. I think, look.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Everything on the defensive side of the ball is a little bit more of an open question, right? Like you're taking a little bit of a leap of faith. Arich isn't a guy who has 10 years of coordinator experience. I think he was 1 year at San Diego State and he flipped the defense pretty dramatically.
Yeah.
This is one where you have to trust Rule a little bit. He has to get it right. It has to work. So, I mean, I've seen some commentary on Twitter of like, here we go. Another unproven assistant, no Big Ten experience, whatever. Tony White didn't have any Big Ten experience and his defenses were pretty good, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so it's just one, like the defensive side, I know Arich runs a little bit different system, right? And it's been noted that it should match our personnel a little bit better. Specifically Williams Winery and Keona Davis, maybe
front.
Lining up in the four man front.
Gotcha.
Tony White would always say that's maybe overblown because he ran the, what was it? The 3-5-3, 3-3-5, whatever you call it. I'm dyslexic, I guess. But he would always say like they would do a four man front. They would mix it up. So I think, people mix these things up all the time. I'm not sure as many Husker fans are as big of X's and O's experts as they think they are. Maybe they are. We're not. Let me be clear on that. We're not.
I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
But I think, anyway, point being, I don't really care what the formation is. It's just got to be better. And I think nobody really knows. Arich might be outstanding. You know, there's a handful of coordinate, Dabo Sweeney was Clemson's wide receivers coach who became an interim head coach. And people were probably like, yeah, he's not ready for this. You know, Dan Lanning was a coordinator. There's some coordinators, there's some assistants who have worked out really, really well. And there's others who haven't. And so, he's not even moving up to head coach. He's just making a lateral move. So I think we can trust Rule. Phil Snow's here. Like, I think we trust Rule to figure this out. But the bottom line is, as you said, Matty O, they've got to show it on the field. And Matt Rule knows that. Yeah. So we'll have to trust that they can, that they could figure this out.
Yeah. Well, he went the, with Arich, he went the rising star, you know, up and comer guy instead of like a proven guy. I think the issue in this day and age of college football, you hire a proven guy with experience. He gets Nebraska's defense to ball out for a season or two, probably leaving, probably taking a head coach job.
Good point.
So you ideally you'd like to have a guy that's going to be here for a few years before he takes the next step. So, I mean, you got to think about all these things. Like, I know we want the best and the most expensive and the brightest and the most success. And we want all those things. Sometimes it's just not that realistic. I mean, it's not.
It's a great point.
We're, and we've got a checkbook and we're going to pay you, but hey, maybe this is a better route, you know, taking somebody that's done a little bit of things good and looks good on paper and defense had good stats and all those things, see how it goes. And you got, and it's got to line up, you know, philosophically too. So.
Well, it's got to work. I mean, he was like, where was Butler at before he came here? Do you guys remember?
The Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills of the National Football League.
For whatever reason, he was hung up on him and said, he said, that's my guy. And he was pretty confident on him coming here and making a difference. So we all saw he needs, this has to work, TJ, Matt. He needs to get this right. It was a strikeout last time. Hopefully he's got it figured out this time. Because
well, I think part of it too, that the part that I like about it on paper again, is you're bringing in guys that have been in college football. You know, but with Butler, it was kind of one of those things where, yeah, I'm sure he's a really good football coach and knows more football than most of us will ever know in our lifetime.
Yeah.
But managing your guys too, coming from the NFL to the college game, I think some guys, it's a little bit different, right? You kind of let things slide a little bit more. It's a, you know, it's not as much rah-rah motivational, maybe you expect them to be able to get up for games on their own. That's how they do it in the pros and those kinds of things. There's some of that too. I like us hiring guys from college football. So
yeah, good point.
Well, and I think people forget, not forget, but maybe when like everyone looks at like this guy's history, his background, whatever. Like Matt Rhule sat down in a room with this guy. He sat down in a room with other candidates too, and they talked X's and O's. And there's like there's a personal element to this. To where you have to trust the guy, like it's, I think one of you said it already. You got to be compatible. You got to be able to work together. You got to have the same philosophy. You got like all those things, right? And so, you know, Matt Rhule sat down in a room with this guy. Phil Snow was probably there. They probably looked at film. Probably had a whole interview process. All these things. The guy's a smart football coach, right? So, you know, to some extent, Kurt Cignetti. I can't believe I didn't bring that guy. That's a great example of a guy who coached at the lower levels. Showed up in the Big Ten and dominated right away. So again, we're not, some of those are unique circumstances, but the point is like, we just got to trust Rhule that, you know, again, if Arich doesn't work, it's worse for Matt Rhule than it is for Rob Arich, probably, right? Go ahead, GF.
What do you think, like in the interview process for a coaching, like, is he sitting down and saying like, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
What book are you reading right now?
What's your?
What are some of your strengths and weaknesses?
That's the, you know, what was the Michael Scott one?
As you'll see, all of my weaknesses are in fact strengths.
Yeah, I like you just printed it off from Google or whatever. I wanted to make one other point, guys, as I have caught up on a week's worth of Nebraska football reading from various publications. Sam McEwen has stated in two different articles twice as fact that that play against USC where Dillon got hurt, which was first and 10, Nebraska's got the ball, they're up 14-6. It's on the USC 23 or 24, if I recall. He dropped back to pass, got sacked, broke his leg, fumbled. Literally, one could argue the entire season sort of flipped on that play. The game flipped on that play, the season flipped, whatever. Mm-hmm. We came in really hard on Dana, or at least I did, for that play call. Sam has not suggested, he has stated as fact twice now, that Dillon checked into that play. So, I'm sure Dillon had a reason for doing that. I'm sure he thought, you know, I'm not coming in hot on Dillon, but I just want to point out, we were very, very critical on Holgorsen because we thought that he called that play. I guess it was a run, it was two tight ends. It was apparently a run call. We had been running the ball really well against USC, and Dylan checked into the pass play. So not bringing that up to like rub it in Dylan's face, like, hey, you shouldn't have done that or you wouldn't have broke your leg. But the point is, like, sorry, Dana, looks like we were wrong on that one. The common fans are big enough to own their stuff when that happens.
Yeah. 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 Well, no, But I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, I do kind of want to go back. If we can go back, we start talking about defense. I wanted to say this, and it slipped my mind. Is the two offensive line coaches and appearing to want to focus more on running the ball? Do those things jive with one Dana Holgorsen? Are those things compatible? Yeah. That mm-hmm. will be another storyline and be interesting to see from a guy that's definitely leaned more passing in his coaching career. How will those things work together? And again, we know Dana is an offensive mad genius. He's proven that. We can give him that over the years, right? Has it worked as well here as we thought it would? No, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes with, hey, we're going to run the ball more and we've got an air raid guy as our OC. I'm just saying.
Sorry, Dana. Sorry. Is he coming to Christmas this year, TJ? What's going on here? Did you guys become best friends? Oh, I'm just saying. Oh, don't apologize for that. All, but everything's on the table at this point. Okay, you know, I know. We all know it. There's no apologies. We think what we think. We say what we say.
We got to get through this bowl game. But then I really am interested to see what happens in the off season. Are we going to keep saying that we're going to run the same offense, are we going to make more sort of significant overhauls? Are we going to make more tweaks to the entire system?
Yeah.
It feels like, you kind of have to with, we'll see what they do in the portal, but, Latif is more of a running quarterback. We think there's going to be more of a focus on the power run game. What does that look like? We said it many times this year. I at least expected more creativity from Dana. Like they said, clear out. We're going to run the same offense we've been running for 2 years. We just simplified it, made some slight tweaks. But and I'm not saying you don't want to get too gimmicky, but USC against us ran two trick plays. One of them got a much needed 2-point conversion for them. And the other one got them 30 yards or something, but it was like a little flea flicker or something. Mm-hmm. But it's like, whether it's trick plays or just more creativity, we didn't seem to see a lot of that from Dana. Now, maybe if you're going back to a power run game, I don't know. I guess I'm all over the map here. But the point is, it comes back to a lack of identity. And I'll be really interested to see where it all shakes out, where it all comes down. Because I guess what I'm getting at is, if you just let Dana cook, I feel like he could figure out whatever. Like if Matt Rhule says, we're going to be a run first team, Dana, we're going to run the ball, but you design it from there. Right. Or here's the parameters, Dana. But then you come back to me with what you think would work best after now you've had a full season in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I believe Dana could come up with something a lot better than what we saw this last season. Right. Yeah. And so it'll just be interesting to see, are they going to say, let's make some more dramatic overhauls? Or are they just going to, sort of run it back and say we're running the same thing again?
Well, and you would think Dana was given some input on the offensive line hires. Like you don't just hire two offensive line coaches and then report to your OC and say, hey, you know what? We hired a couple new guys. Let's see how it goes. Like I would imagine he was at least a part of that process or had some input, or they said, hey, Dana, what do you think about these guys? Something, the guys that's calling your plays and running your offense, you want him kind of as a part of that. You want to have him at least plugged in and be like, here's what we're thinking. So
I'm sure he was. There's no doubt there. Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense if he wasn't.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have even said it, Jeff.
No, I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah. Sorry, Jeff. Sorry if that bothered you, Jeff.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, when I brought up the running game coordinator, you thought it was absurd that these guys wouldn't know each other and talk to each other. So it would seem likely that Dana would have some input on
absurd.
On who's hired for the offensive line coach. I'm just saying.
All right, common fans. Let's see. Should we end with Christmas wishes? Common fan Christmas wishes. Hey, we going into the 2026 season.
We need to talk about the bull pick'em. We forgot to bring.
We forgot it for the second.
Oh yeah.
We've got a common fan bull pick'em on ESPN. Too late to sign up now, so I'm not going to even talk about that. But we do have 40 or 50 or so people that are in it. Let me see if I've got the actual numbers here. Friend of the program, Michael Sevier, was near the top of the leaderboard the last I checked.
Of course he was. We shouldn't have invited him.
I know.
Did you kick people out?
He knows more about it. He's one of the more knowledgeable football guys in the sport, Nebraska sports media. That's not a knock on you, Michael. It's just we shouldn't have invited you because we wanted to cook the books and give ourselves a chance to win.
I'm 7-4.
49 participants in this thing. Now, just a reminder, if you're checking the results on ESPN, we did not count the first three games. So we've got...
We've got some scrubbing to do.
An insider of the program, my friend Mark, has volunteered to run a spreadsheet that will have the actual leaderboard. So next episode, maybe we can get an update from Mark and we can report back on the true leaders.
Oh dear.
Common Fan podcast. Myself am not doing well. I am not doing well at all.
Both I and my two sons are tied for 42nd or worse out of 49 or whatever it was. So
yeah,
now we're struggling. A lot of bowl games left, common fans. Yeah, bowl games left.
A lot of football left.
All right, so let's wrap up. And thanks to Mark again. That's so cool that he helped us kind of put that together. We did it kind of last minute too. I want to remember to do this next year with a little more publicity, so to speak. So I thought getting 50 people is pretty dang good.
Now, guys, I'm in fourth place, guys. I'm in fourth.
Nobody believes that.
Just so you guys
know. It's all luck, Jeff.
Nobody cares, Jeff. Nobody cares. let's wrap up quickly. By the time this comes out, it'll be 2 days before Christmas. First of all, we hope all the common fans have a wonderful Christmas and holiday season. We love you all. But let's talk about, do we have any common fan Christmas wish? Anything on the common fan Christmas wish list, specifically as it pertains to Nebraska football going into 2026?
I have a pretty specific wish.
Mm.
I would like to see Nebraska football, the defensive unit, the black shirts, as they have been known over the years. They didn't look a lot like black shirts in 2025. I'd like to see them get the quarterback. My Christmas wish is in 2026, Nebraska gets to the quarterback. Let's just say 20 sacks. I feel like that's attainable. 20 sacks on the season. I mean, that's less than two per game.
I think that feels like a lot based on recent history.
It does. But you look less at other teams and what they've done, like it's not that unusual or that lofty of a goal. 20 sacks in 2026 for the black shirts is my Christmas wish. Mm. And also for all the children of the world to join hands and sing. No, that's the old Steve Martin SNL. Yeah.
And of course.
Yeah, Geoff, what about you?
You know what I want. I want Hollywood. I want an answer on our quarterback situation. I want to know who's going to be leading this team, who we're going to get out of the portal. I want an all-star. I want somebody that can run the ball. I want somebody that can throw the ball over the field. I want us to kick ass on offense this year. That's what I want. I want us to kick some ass on offense this year. I know.
What about your guy? What about Latif? You're president of the fan club. He can run.
If he can do it, he can do it. I want to know who we're getting out of the portal too. Is clearly we're going to have to go after somebody. I listened to Carricker the other day and he's like, we need a big name that can hopefully maybe bring some people with him to attract more talent to Nebraska. So ideally I'd like to see a big splash hire, or not even a hire. Sounds like a hire, but a recruit. To come in and give us some confidence going into next year. I'm a big TJ Latif guy. I know a lot of you folks weren't, or at least didn't want to give him the benefit of the doubt. So yeah, quarterback it is. That's what I want. Tell me who it is. Give me an idea where we're going.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. And no, I didn't know that, but thanks. You started your answer with, you know what I want. And
you did know that.
I don't think either of us did know, but thank you.
The common fans know. The common fans know.
The regular common fans know. Mm-hmm. I'll do one shorter term specific one and one bigger picture one. First, I'd like us to win the bowl game against Utah. They've got, I guess their starting quarterback is going to play. Okay. They've got some linemen who are projected to be like top round picks.
Okay, won the Outland. Do they have an Outland winner?
Who are sitting out.
Yeah.
Who are sitting out. Sorry, I had to get a sip of water there. So I loved it. Like, I mean, if they lose by three or five and they play really well and we stop the run more than we think we're going to stop the run and Latif looks really good. Hopefully he's healthy by then. Like, I don't think anybody's going to like, that it kind of is what it is. We could live with that. But I'd really like to see us win.
Yeah.
Crazy things happen. And Utah's the better team. 2025 Utah is better than 2025 Nebraska. Let's be clear. But who cares? It's a bowl game.
Did you all pick Nebraska in the pick'em? I'm just curious.
I don't think I could. I'd have to go back and look. There's no way I picked Utah. I probably didn't even think about it. I probably just checked Nebraska and moved on. There's no way I could pick anybody other than Nebraska in that situation. Do you care to comment, Jeff?
I'm just wondering. Go ahead. Go on.
Matteo, you're being oddly silent.
What?
I didn't pick Nebraska.
Well, these guys, competitive guys, try to win a pick 'em here.
Hey, it's the name of the game. Pick the winner.
The other thing I want for Christmas, and this is we won't know until 2026. We won't call it a leap, but I would like to see a big step forward for the Nebraska football team in 2026. And here's what I mean by that. Like, that's pretty vague. I don't like 2025 was certainly not the year three leap that everyone talked about for Matt Rhule. And 2026 schedule is so much more difficult.
Yeah.
Right? We've talked about this many times. Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, at Iowa, at Illinois,
yada,
Washington, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like something tangible that we all know, like, we need to run the ball better. The defense needs to be better. Like, those are sort of, yes, we want all those things to happen. I want something tangible. I want to pick off one of those top teams, or I want to beat a ranked team, or like, I want to, you know, go to Oregon and win, or host, I can't even remember what's where, Ohio State or Indiana and win. Or like, I'm tired of, you know, even in Rhule's first year, second year, Dylan's first year, we go to Ohio State and almost beat them. Yeah. Right. And like, everyone pats themselves on the back and, hey, that's a sign of progress. I'm ready to get over the hump and win one of those. It has happened before. It's college football. It can happen. Right.
Sure.
So like, I think everyone's expectations are probably pretty tempered going into 2026, given how the 25 season ended and looking at the schedule. But I don't want to just go 6-6 and say we played Oregon and Indiana closely and lost to Iowa on a last second field goal. You know, it's a vague statement, but like, I want something tangible. We beat Iowa at Iowa, beat a top 25 team, like more than one tangible thing, right? Like, something. Get over the hump, get the 7 or 8 wins. And in so doing, don't just beat the teams that have, you know, that we're supposed to, or the teams that didn't make bowl games or whatever. Show that you can punch up and play with the big boys, right?
Maybe
show that year four, you know, Sam commented that there's 14 third year sophomores, juniors, or seniors. So third year sophomores or juniors or seniors on the offensive line on the roster. I assume if you go through the other positions, there's similar, like, you're in year four now. You have guys who you recruited who are in their fourth year, Matt Rhule, and transfer portal, all those things. Let's see a leap from some of those guys. Let's see, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's see this thing take off a little bit. Again, not even like a 10-2 leap where, again, we'll all be dancing in the streets if that happens with this schedule. But the point is, like, something tangible where if we're 7-5 and the wins are the three non-cons and Rutgers and Michigan State and, you know, Washington and Illinois, I mean, that's, I don't know, I think people will be happy with that. But like, I want to beat somebody we're not supposed to beat.
Yeah.
And I want to beat Iowa, and I want to like do a couple of these things that it's been way too long since we've done it. That was so much babbling. And Jeff, you've got something to say.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. You want like something that gives us national recognition. Sure, we've made progress from, you know, 5 wins to 6 wins to 7 wins, but nobody outside of the state of Nebraska knows, like, really knows that. You know what I mean? Like, they don't care about that, our day-to-day record. You want something that everybody around the country is going to say, oh, hey, look at what Nebraska just pulled out of their butt last weekend playing against X team. Like, I know exactly what you're saying there. Just something to be proud of that maybe the rest of the world will finally, like, look at us and say, hey, Nebraska, hey, you did something good for once. Good for you guys.
Yeah, but also, Jeff, but so with that would come, I think, the feeling that this program is headed somewhere, mm-hmm. right? I think in an ideal world, where we want Matt Rhule to get this thing is your baseline is what, 8 to 9 wins a year, 7 to 9 wins a year. I'm trying to be realistic with the new world of college football. And then those hand every now and then, every couple of years, every few years, when it all comes together, you're winning 10 games, you're in the playoff conversation. It doesn't, like, how close does it feel like we are to that point?
I know. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know. Nobody knows. Like, it's hard to answer that question right now.
Quite honest.
So I want to have a season where we go 7-5 or 8-4 when we're not supposed to, right? Like, maybe we go 8-4 and beat, you know, Iowa and Washington and Illinois and pick off one of the big guys. I don't know. I'm making this. I didn't even count there, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I want it to feel like, you know, we're right there. We're right there of that
real progress,
8 to 10 wins a year, sustainably top 25. I'm still not sure you can say we're there. No, I'm sure you can't say we're there the way the season ended. And now we've made another round of firings and hirings, and we'll get another round of guys in the portal. And there's hope and opportunity there, but there's no guarantees there. And so that's what you know, as you said at the beginning, Matty, we got to see it on the field.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
Woo! All right. Truly, madly, deeply, common fans, we love every single one of you. Merry Christmas to all a good night. Hope everyone has a great Christmas, a great holiday season. We'll be back at you after Christmas, but before the bowl game. We'll have one more episode before New Year's Eve, which is when the bowl game is. Matt, Jeff, any final Christmas thoughts for the common fans?
Jeff?
Well, Christmas thoughts. Let me think here. I do want to say we've been doing this for a while now. And so thanks to all the listeners. This is my favorite time to do the podcast this time of year. I feel like everybody's in a really good mood. Everybody's feeling really good, up. A lot of people are on vacation. So just to all the listeners, enjoy time with your friends and family. Soak it up, so to speak. Enjoy yourselves. And we'll see you before the bowl game.
That's beautiful, Jeff.
Lovely, thank Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, just I want the common fans to have a little perspective this holiday season. It's not all about the material things. As Jeff said, enjoy your time with your loved ones. We don't know how much time we get. And I love the common fans.
I thought of something too.
Big fan of the common fans.
I thought of one more thing too.
That's appropriate, Matty-O, that you're alluding to death as we talk about Nebraska's bowl game. Anyway, go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, just never be afraid to opt out of a bowl game either, common fans.
Oh, God.
If you don't feel like playing.
All right, he's off the stage and he's not coming back for this episode.
No. And Nebraska, we go ahead and play the game. We go ahead.
Right. You always play the game.
We'll let him back.
In the spirit of Christmas, we'll let him
back.
Thank
you. Appreciate that. Thank you. I just had never to get that.
Hey, and shout out to Nebraska basketball again. Still undefeated.
Still undefeated.
Gutty won last night. It was against North Dakota. It was one of those where you just kind of try to gut it out and get the W, and they did it.
That's right.
Keep going. Fred and the boys. Love the entertainment you're providing while we figure out what the hell's going on with football.
Keep at it, Nebraska ball. All right, common fans, be kind to each other. We'll be back at you soon. Have a very Merry Christmas. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska. Bring that trophy back to Lincoln.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.